Good morning. I know what you all are thinking. We're going to get out of church early because the man that has few words to say is preaching today. But I have a little secret. I'm actually going to just speak really slowly today. And I also ask that you bear with me. I've been battling a cold all week, and so hopefully I can make it through this. Our passage this morning comes from the epistle reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. So if you want to turn in your scriptures to that passage and follow along, you're more than welcome to do so. To the wives out there, or couples, have you ever told your husband some information that was important only to later on have to remind him of what you had said? No. Or perhaps you have to keep reminding him that your anniversary or birthday are coming up. Or you told him that you wanted this for your anniversary and that for your birthday, only to receive something completely different. Does that sound familiar to any of you? It doesn't to me, no. Or Amy, that never happens. As humans, we are prone to forget things. Our minds are not always the steel traps that we think they should be, but more like sieves that allow information in and then right through. Or the information comes in, but the output is not what we expected. This is a similar case which Paul is dealing with regarding the Corinthian church. The Corinthians heard his message and received it when he was with them for about a year and a half. But now that he has been away for a while, he has to remind them of this message because they have gone astray from the original preaching and teaching he did with them. Now, we won't go into all of this morning, but that is the crux of chapter 15. They have accepted the truth of the resurrection, only they have left out the body. They have come to only believe in spiritual resurrection, not a corporeal or physical resurrection. They have forgotten what Paul taught them from the beginning. And so Paul spends all of chapter 15 setting the Corinthians straight once again. He reminds them of the original teaching he did with them. There are three reminders that we'll see as we make our way through our passage this morning. First, Paul reminds the Corinthians of their acceptance of the gospel. Secondly, he reminds them of the truthful content of the gospel. And lastly, he reminds them of the changing power of the gospel. So let us look at chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and see not only what Paul said to the Corinthians, but what he has for us this morning as well. But before we do that, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receiving your word, that we may take it in, that we may believe more strongly and live more faithfully to what you have called us to. It's in Jesus' name and by the Spirit we pray. Amen. I'm sure most of you, if not all, have seen the movie The Lion King. And remember in the movie where Simba is now an adolescent, and he goes and looks into the water and sees the reflection of his father in the water, and there's a storm billowing over the horizon, and pretty soon he hears his father's voice calling out to him, Simba, Simba. If only I could get as low as he does, but... And so Simba runs and kind of has this conversation with his father in the clouds. And Mufasa says to him, that you've forgotten who you are, that you've forgotten where you come from. And Mufasa says, as he begins to disappear, remember, remember. And that's the kind of image that I have in reading at least the first couple verses here in our passage, verses 1 through 2, I imagine Paul saying to the Corinthians, remember, remember, as he reminds them of the gospel that they first believed and who they are in light of that gospel. In the previous chapters, Paul has been setting the Corinthians straight regarding their particular practices in the church that are counterintuitive to the gospel. He switches in chapter 15 from chastising them for their wrong practices to their wrong beliefs. In making this switch, Paul calls upon them to remember the gospel that he preached to them. They have forgotten the heart of the gospel. He will again lay out the contents of this gospel in verses 3 through 5, but before he gets there, he reminds them that they received this gospel. What Paul is telling them is nothing they haven't already heard. In time past, they have already received this news. There was a time when the Corinthians did not believe the gospel. They were lost in their own sins and pagan worship. The truth of the gospel had not pierced their hearts until it was preached to them. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, as Paul says in Romans 10:17. The Corinthians heard Paul preaching Christ and his resurrection and came to believe. And now they stand in the light of that truth. Their footing is on solid ground. It is firm because of the truth of the gospel. The Corinthians are being saved, as Paul says, by this gospel. The phrase, are being saved, indicates that their salvation is still ongoing from this point, from the point that they believe the gospel and moving towards its completion. Today, we would express this movement as justification, sanctification, and glorification. We are justified by God at the moment of our believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are made more and more into the image of Christ during our sanctification, and we look forward to our glorification when Christ makes all things new again, completing the whole salvific package. These three parts are under the umbrella of being saved. You don't get one without the other two as well. And so Paul encourages the Corinthians to hold fast to the word I preach to you. This word we will see elaborated in verses 3 and 5. He calls upon them to hold fast to the gospel because of their denial of the physical resurrection. As chapter 15 goes on, Paul bases his argument of a physical resurrection on what he will discuss in verses 3 through 5, namely the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the word they are to hold on to, that Jesus Christ was physically raised from the dead. If this event did not happen, then they, and every Christian since then, believes in vain. Their faith, our faith, is useless. In verses 1 through 2, Paul calls upon the Corinthians to hold on to the gospel that he preached to them, the one that they initially received. This is also a reminder to us. The Corinthians have started to go astray, believing in false teachings about the resurrection of the dead. It's as if they have forgotten what Paul taught them. Does this happen to us today as well, to you and me? Do we forget what we've been taught about Christ and the resurrection? We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Lord's Day. But do we continue to live in the light and knowledge of that miracle, hour by hour, day by day? The way we interact with people this week might tell a different story of what we actually believe about the gospel we have received. Not to point fingers, for I too am guilty of not holding fast to the word that is preached as I ought. But that is one of the reasons we meet weekly, is to be reminded of this gospel, of why Jesus lived and died, and to renew covenant with him. That's why we partake of the Lord's Supper weekly, to be reminded of this truth. So if Paul is reminding the Corinthians of this gospel that he preached to them, what was it that he actually preached to them? Let us turn to verses 3 through 7, where Paul lays out the gospel again in the simplest of terms. Here he says, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. This is the crux of what Paul delivered to the Corinthians, and I imagine to every other church that he planted as well. This is what he preached to them as of first importance, that is the most important and basic beliefs about Christ. You see, the Corinthians had gotten all excited about the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues. They were narrowly focused on spiritual gifts and even misusing them. And so Paul redirects their thoughts away from that which is secondary, the spiritual gifts, to that which is of first importance, the gospel message. This gospel message is also what Paul received himself. Remember, he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, where Jesus called him to stop persecuting his church and to become one of his disciples. Paul later met with the other apostles in Jerusalem, where it is likely he received more elements and further teaching of the gospel message, which he then preached to the Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, and so on. The message that Paul has been preaching and writing about is the same one he received when he was called to be an apostle on the road to Damascus. The elements which Paul received and preached are succinctly stated. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, and he appeared to others as well. Many scholars believe that verses 3 through 5 are an early form of a Christian creed. Remembering these truths are what is important. Not that the spiritual gifts are unimportant, but that these are primary. These truths are what change the hearts from stone to flesh. Notice that Paul bases these truths in Scripture as well. Twice, he says, in accordance with the Scriptures. Paul would be referring to the Old Testament, for that was the Scriptures of his day. For example, concerning the death of Christ, Isaiah 53, verse 5 reads, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." And concerning the resurrection, Psalm 16, verse 10 says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." These passages and others in the Old Testament confirmed to the early church the truths of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Paul is reminding the Corinthians of these truths and their grounding in the Old Testament Scriptures. Paul also affirms that after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to many people. He appeared to Cephas, the 12 apostles, 500 brothers, and James. That's a lot of people to say hi to. But why does Paul mention these appearances? It seems that Paul includes these appearances to validate the resurrection of Jesus as a real and physical resurrection. It was not just a ghost they saw, or a spiritual resurrection, but a physical resurrection, bone, flesh, meat. And if the Corinthians had any doubts, they could call up one of these eyewitnesses and verify the reality of such appearances. Although, Paul does state, some of those eyewitnesses have already fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a euphemism for death. It would be like us today saying so-and-so has passed away. But fallen asleep is an interesting phrase, given that Paul is trying to remind the Corinthians of a physical resurrection. For a Christian who dies is going to be awakened again when Jesus comes back. The body will be raised up and changed into a glorified body. The resurrection of the believer is like one waking up from a very long slumber. This awakening is due to the fact that Christ died for the sins of the Corinthians and all Christians, that he was buried and resurrected. This is not only true of the Corinthians, but of us as well, who profess the same beliefs. We too stand in the same tradition as the Corinthians and every other Christian church for that matter. We have received the same gospel message that Paul received, which the Corinthians received, which every Christian has received and believed. For our confession is also that Christ died for our sins, that he was dead, buried, and he was raised to life on the third day. Exactly what we recited in the Apostles' Creed. This tradition is the reason why the church at large exists and why Trinity Presbyterian Church exists. That's also why I find it helpful to memorize the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. They help remind us of these basic truths of our Christian faith so that we don't forget and wander off like the Corinthians did. But unlike the Corinthians and Paul, we don't have 500-some eyewitnesses to call up and verify the truths of this gospel. But what we do have is Scripture, the infallible and inerrant Word of God. We have the writings of Paul, Peter, Matthew, John, David, Moses, etc., etc. And outside of Scripture, we also have writings from the early church fathers like Ignatius, Irenaeus, Polycarp, and Justin Martyr, who testified to the truth that the apostles handed down to them, which continues to be handed down from generation to generation. So we can have confidence that what we have received as the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are reminded then of the truth on which we stand. The gospel message, however, is not meant to only be handed down, but is meant to change lives in the process. This is Paul's last reminder in our passage this morning. The gospel changes lives. We've seen that according to Paul and the tradition he received, Jesus appeared to numerous people after his resurrection. One of those people was Paul himself. He says, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." As mentioned earlier, this appearance occurred when Paul was on his way to Damascus, in hot pursuit and persecution of the church. Paul refers to his apostolic call as one untimely born. This phrase is translated from the Greek word ektroma, which literally refers to an aborted child or a miscarriage. It's a little awkward in how Paul uses it here in reference to his call, but it's a powerful image of the unexpected, abnormal nature of his apostolic call. The other disciples had years with Jesus learning and hearing from him, but Paul comes in at the very end of that ministry. And so Paul describes himself in self-deprecating words when he refers to himself as least of the apostles. He places himself below the other apostles because he was persecuting the church at the time he received his call to be an apostle. Remember, Paul was there when Stephen was stoned to death and recorded in the book of Acts. But Paul does not dwell on his lowliness or his sin. Instead, he redirects the Corinthians' attention to the grace of God. Paul recognizes the work of God's grace in his life as he says, "I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain." God's grace changed Paul from an enemy of the church to one of its most ardent supporters and evangelists. God's grace was certainly not in vain concerning Paul. And Paul recognizes this too, for he made sure that his faith was not in vain or useless because he worked harder than any of them. He traveled the Roman Empire preaching and teaching about Christ. He wrote letters in and out of prison to the various churches. He also worked as a tent maker to make money for his own mission trips. He was a busy, busy man. But he remains humble in recounting his activity as he always credits his accomplishments to the grace of God. He reminds the Corinthians that it was God's grace that changed him and enabled him to do these great things. It was not of his own strength, but the strength of Christ in him. He also acknowledges that he was not the only one working hard, but whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The other apostles were preaching the same things Paul was, and through their collaborative efforts, the Corinthians and others believed as well. Perhaps you can relate to Paul as being one untimely born. Maybe you didn't grow up in the church, but received the gospel later on in life. However you came to receive God's grace, it is that grace that changes hearts. It's God's grace that can change the heart of one man who persecuted the early church with such zeal. Just think what God's grace can do in your hearts, in the hearts of those who have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel was true for Paul. It was true for the Corinthians, and it is true for all of us as well. God's grace was sufficient for Paul, as he attests to it in numerous places, and so it remains sufficient for all of us. So let us be of good cheer, remembering that we have received God's grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We stand on this gospel as it has been handed down to us from the very people who witnessed these events so many years ago. And because we have accepted the gospel of Jesus, we are promised a real resurrection in the life to come with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us remember, remember, remember. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this morning, for the time to come before you to remember the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would be with us as we continue through this day, through this week. May we continue to remember his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the life and hope that we now live in and through him. It's in his name, and by the Spirit we pray. Amen.